Welcome to Software Testing Unleashed, the podcast for testers, developers, and software makers who live quality as an attitude. Get fresh ideas and sharp insights to grow your mindset, to learn new methods, and to drive real change in how we build software. Better software and better teams for a better world. Hi, I'm Richie, software quality coach, keynote speaker, and author. My guest today is Maroš Kučí. Maroš is QA technical lead and a passionate advocate for automation testing. He mentors teams, explores new testing frameworks, and helps others break into the world of QA. You might know him from conferences like Testing United, CTest, or Software Quality Days, where he shares insights not just on tools, but on team dynamics and communication. He's a strong believer in self-improvement, leadership, and the Stoic philosophy, and brings that mindset into his work. In this episode, we talk about non-violent communication and how it can transform the way we work together in tech teams. What if your message lands better just by changing a single word? Why is "you disappointed me" not a feedback but a shutdown? And how can a tester express needs clearly without blaming or apologizing? We break down the four core components of nonviolent communication: observations, feelings, needs, and requests. Maroš explains how this model helps testers give clearer feedback, create empathy in conflict situations, and improve collaboration across roles. If you care about quality in teams, not just in code, this is a conversation that might just shift you and how you speak and listen and at work. So now, enjoy the episode. Hi Maroš, nice to have you on the podcast.
Hello, Richie. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, we are here now at QSTag 2024 here in Frankfurt. And you had already your talk this day. So now you are relaxed for the podcast episode. I'm very happy to have you here because you have a very interesting topic, I think. I get often the feedback from the community that they want more soft skills, more of this, not too technical skills, but also to think about how can we communicate in the team, how can we change the team, how can we develop a team. And I read the abstract from your talk, and then I found the topic which triggered me, non-violent communication. And I knew that from my coaching seminars before. And yeah, I'm very interested. How do you think about nonviolent communication? Why do you deal with it? What was your intention to go with the topic?
Yes. So last year I was on one training, and it was like in December 2023, and I was introduced to this book from Marshall Rosenberg. Mm. And I started to read the book, listen to audiobook, listen to some workshop, audio workshop. And I was thinking, yes, it looks interesting. And I was thinking if there is any possibility to use it in our testing situations. Mm-hmm. And basically it started like this. And then I sent proposal here and I was selected.
Yeah. And it's... A communication skill or a communication method, I think. The first thing I thought about it is because as a tester, you have to communicate with so many people all around the project and all around the different levels. So it's very good to have a method, a framework for good communication.
Yes, as you said, as testers, we need to communicate a lot. For example, on backlog refinement meetings, we communicate with our developers, testers, then with product owners, some architects. Then we have retrospectives. We, for example, have one-to-ones with our team members or with our boss. Mm. Also, when we discussing bugs with developers, lot of communication. Also, when we are looking at results of automation tests and doing the analysis again, we need to communicate a lot.
Yeah,
so yes,
yeah,
there is a lot of communication for testers.
Yes, and we all know that the situations where communication goes wrong. So it's good to have some skills and some methods to communicate on a better way with other people. Maybe you can just explain us what is the core of nonviolent communication by Marshall Rosenberg.
Yes, so there are like the core are the there is a model of nonviolent communication, and this model has four parts or four components. And the first component is are observations, then second feelings, third needs, and the last one are requests.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they consist two parts. First part is speaking, so expressing honestly, and second part is listening empathically. And both these parts include all four components. So this is maybe the core of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do you have an example for us so that we can better understand it? How is it in a practical manner?
Yes. I have a couple of examples. So for example, more focus could be on expressing honestly when we are speaking. So. Mm. The first components are observations. So basically it's about the way how we communicate when we are seeing or hearing something. We should be able to clearly communicate what we are observing without mixing evaluation. Because many times when we are communicating, we are evaluating.
Mm.
And this is, according to these non-violent communication principles, it's violent to evaluate, and non-violent is just observe and try to separate observations from evaluations.
Mm.
For example, you have a developer, you're working with developer, and he is usually providing his code at the last day of the sprint. Yes, and it could be problem because you want to go for a weekend, it's 3-4 last Friday of the sprint, and you have something to test.
We all know this situation.
even if you test it and there is a problem, he's already on his weekend. So maybe the first version of your communication could be that you are then speaking with your manager and basically communicating what happened, and you can say that this developer, let's say John procrastinates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so but this is not good, and better would be to say during last two sprints you provided your fixes for testing at the last day of the sprint. So this is information which you will pass to your manager, and he can work with this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better like saying he procrastinates.
Yes, it's much more neutral and objective about the topic, and then to say that he procrastinates and give this evaluation into that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So this was example about the first component about the observations.
Mm-hmm.
Then second one are feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about again we should distinguish between the feelings and non-feelings, and then question is what are non-feelings? So we are describing something what we think we are, but it's not our actual feeling.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an example for them?
Yes. For feelings, for example, another situation from maybe from backlog refinement. That product owner will come with some story to refine, and we are testers, and we have this definition of ready document in our mind, and it should have some items, and if it doesn't meet them, we can say that it's not good for refinement, but we can say to product owner, please come next time prepared, we have a lot of questions and this. But developers maybe will say, or product owner or architect will say, it's okay, we will take it, yeah. And then during the sprint we will answer the questions, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is the situation, and your version of communication could be that you are speaking with them after it, and I feel ignored on the backlog refinement meetings with Pragular, okay? I feel ignored, and again, this is not the feeling, this is how you feel others react to you, and better way of communication could be that I feel, for example, frustrated during the backlog refinement meeting. Okay, so sometimes it's challenging for us as testers to express our feelings because maybe we are more technical, but but it's better way to communicate feelings and not what we think we are. So
I think that's a big step for good communication, to always let other people also think, see what I really feel about a situation. Yeah. Okay, that's the second part. Yeah.
Second component. Yes. And component number three are basically needs. Which are caused by our feelings, and again, here important it is to take responsibility for our feelings.
Do you have the example for us?
Yes, yes, I have an example. I'm thinking about some situation, because sometimes you will say that you basically try to pass the responsibilities to someone else for your feelings, and again, could be a situation, for example, you were on again could be some meeting. I'm just trying to think about that the like basic rule is not say that you okay, there is one example that you want to introduce new tool for automation testing, okay? Like an automation tester. And because we are using old Java framework, maybe Selenium, and you want Cypress or Play, right? And you did proof of concept, and you want to share these results with your, let's say, some test architect. And you organized the meeting, but he didn't come to the meeting. Okay, and your first version of communication could be that you disappointed me by not coming to the meeting. Okay, so you are putting your responsibility away because you are saying you disappointed me. And another version of the communication, which is in compliance with this nonviolent communication principles, is say, I was disappointed by what happened, because I needed to talk about some open questions with you. Okay, so you disappointed me, change to I was disappointed, and then because I needed. Okay, so this is related to this taking responsibility for our feelings and display our needs or say our needs.
I think that needs a lot of openness from the people to talk about their needs, what they really need, and not that I think it's always easy to put the responsibility away from us, so and not be in power of the responsibility. So I think it's that needs a lot of openness. Yeah.
Yes, and it could be for someone strange that I am responsible for my feelings, but it's a different mindset that to think about that. Really, I can control myself, and I can say what are my needs, and the feelings are according to the needs. So different approach to thinking about me as a person.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, and the fourth component?
And the fourth is requesting, basically, clearly requesting what you are needing. Because many times we communicate and it's not clear, basically, what action needs to be done to meet my needs. So example could be that there is a test manager, and test manager needs more automation reports. Okay, it's not enough for him, so he's discussing with automation testers. And again, first version of the communication could be that I would like you to send me automation reports more often. Like, but again, is it clear what action should be done to meet this need? And we can change it to, for example, I would like to send me automation reports on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So this component is about have a very clear message to the other person what needs to be done. Because sometimes it's very general and the other person doesn't know what to do with. So I think we can apply it in testing to be, we can be clear or not clear.
Right? Because we tester always want this clarity from our requirements too, when we do our tests. So we want all things clear. So we have to also to be in the communication very clear. And these are the four components.
First part, expressing honestly. So I was mostly focused also in my presentation on this part. There is second part, listening empathically. And again, we should apply those four components. Basically, I was thinking also what this empathy means at the beginning. So listen with our whole being, do not interrupt the others, to try to listen to the end. And there are some common behaviors that prevent us from being empathic. And again, there could be some situations. So, for example, storytelling, okay, that other tester or your colleague is talking to you about some maybe problems which he has with this POC for Playwright or Cypress. And you listen a bit and then you stop him and try telling some stories that you are an experienced tester and you will say that 10 years ago I had similar issues using HP UFT and so on. So this is not recommended, for example.
That's nothing we want to hear in that moment.
Yes, but sometimes
it happens.
It happens like this.
And did you apply the other components on this too, on this empathy part? Of the listening?
Mostly this listening is just be there.
Yeah.
And some recommendation that what you shouldn't do. But I was mostly focused on this expressing honestly.
And what is your experience in your daily life? If you try to express yourself in this four principles or in these four components of the expression, what is your experience of the response from others?
Yes, many times for me it's challenging to think about it, and because I read the book, I know the theory, but when it comes to real situations, sometimes you forget everything and you just go by some autopilot, which is not according to this principle. So, I try to, for example, during one-to-ones, I try to listen. And sometimes problem for me was not that I stopped the other person or during some discussions. So now I'm thinking about be quiet, listen. I'm trying to write my questions, and then when the person finished talking, then I try to ask what I didn't understand, but not interrupt. So this is about listening. Also, the requests maybe sometimes or in the past were not very clear when I was trying to express what I'm asking for, and it was maybe not done exactly, so then I did for me some retrospective, okay, so maybe I was not clear enough. So always I'm trying to explain what exactly should be done, how should be done. Maybe sometimes it goes into details, but question is, where is the border? It's detailed or it's not enough detail?
Yeah, yeah. I think there is always a little bit of trade-off in between there. So we have to find the border of this, how much can we do it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as you said, when I think about it, it's also a part of that these principles or these four components is not a thing that we can do from one day to the other. Mm. So because we are on autopilot the most of the day, but if we think or be aware of these principles and think one stop at a day and or two times at a day about this, we will learn and we will train ourselves to think about in these principles, and then get better in communication about time.
Exactly. I have in the office the ball, and I have some extracts from some books. Mm. So I need to create another one from this book.
Yeah.
And I try to, before I turn on the computer, I try to for 1 or 2 minutes just read.
Yeah, yeah.
And yes, or sometimes it helps that then during the day I remember, okay, yeah. In the morning I read this.
Yeah.
Or between some meetings, or I know that some very challenging meeting or tough meeting is coming, so before the meeting just read it.
Yeah.
And it could help.
Yeah, and it starts a little bit of reprogramming our autopilot to get more into the state automatically. Yeah, and not to always think about it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Maros, thank you very much for this insights and for this inspiration. I think the part of nonviolent communication in the testing area is a very, very interesting part to think of because we are always dealing with different opinions, with different communication stakeholders and all this stuff. So it can be very good, be a good communicator and to be open and empathic to our stakeholders and to our people around us. So I think it's very inspirational topic to think about. So thank you very much for being here. And I hope you join the evening event today and have a good conference for the rest.
Thank you very much. And thank you again for having me in the podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you.